You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
The final hour here on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome in, welcome back. If you've been kicking it with us so far, we're happy to have each and every one of you here in a difficult time for this city, but we're hoping that we can lighten things up a little bit, screw around, make fun of ourselves, have you guys make fun of us, and see if we can't talk some sports in the meantime. 615-737-1045. That's how you get a hold of Robert, Lucas, and myself for the hour that we have left remaining with you. How's morale back there, kids? How we feeling? I feel like we made the right decision to kind of get this thing back up and feeling a little bit more normal. I feel like it's pulled us out of a bit of a funk, because I know all three of us walked in here today looking around at each other like, are we really about to do this?
I was letting Burke go first.
Oh, I thought he was smoking a cigarette again.
No, he's back.
I have smoked enough cigarettes for a lifetime today.
I know.
I'm kind of upset you didn't let me do my own no the way I wanted to do it, to be honest with you.
Do you want to play the music again? It's not too late.
Well, you can't just.
I can just. I did just.
You act like you going to make him hit it?
Yeah.
Hit it, Lucas.
Oh, now you have to.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
All right, it's the biggest hour of the show. It's the most listened to hour of the show. And we're leading it off because Robert wants to be selfish and say what made him say, oh no, in sports this week. Go ahead.
Last week, Bradley Beal was in a losing effort against the Magic. And as he was walking off, I was reminded of the two facts about athletes that everyone should be reminded of. One, they do not give a rip about your fantasy team, and they do not give a rip about your bets.
Mm-hmm.
As he was walking off the court in a 122-112 loss to the Magic, he was approached by a group of men who yelled, "You bleeped me out of $13, you bleep!" To which Bradley Beal responded, "I don't give a bleep about your bets or your parlays, bro. That ain't why I play the game." And he knocked the hat off of one of the go-tours of the game.
Mm.
So now that man is saying, I'm going to sue.
He was assaulted.
He said, when he knocked that hat off my head, he struck my head, and I am going to get my $1,300 one way or the other. I don't know who the old no is.
Oh, wait. $1,300.
Yeah, you didn't say $1,300.
You initially said $13.
Numbers are hard. Numbers are hard.
It would be way funnier if it was $13.
I told you earlier about his struggles with grammar.
Listen here, Six God. You pull up over there and you listen to this. I don't know who the oh no goes to, but I'm going to lean to the fans. Athletes do not care about your bets. And if they did, they would be working with me to let me inside and make a little bit more money. So Bradley Beal, knock the hat off whoever you want to. My oh no goes to those fans.
It's a pretty demeaning thing to do to someone, just knock the hat off their head.
I think it's about as disrespectful as you can be.
It's that, and it's the easy little double pop you do to somebody's cheek when you know they're being like a so-and-so. You're like, hey, just keep it down, buddy. And you give them that double tap on the cheek. That, or just calling someone buddy. Calling someone buddy.
Buck does that every day. He calls everybody buddy.
But in his case, I'm not threatened because I don't think Buck could beat me up. But in most cases, if a guy's like, hey, watch out, buddy, I'm like, oh, what's going on, tough guy? You got a problem?
You ever seen Succession, Robert?
Yeah, I need to get into it. I'm finishing up Sopranos now.
All right, well, no spoiler alerts, but in one of the previous seasons, because you don't think I can beat you up, one of the characters is confronting another character who has been having an affair with the first character's wife.
Mm.
And there is a confrontation at their wedding. So, the one character walks up to the person who's been having an affair with his wife and says, I will pay somebody to break your legs. I'm not going to beat you up.
God bless.
I'm not getting anywhere near you. I'll be in a different state.
Yeah, you're right.
I will pay men to break your legs. Don't tell HR.
Listen, all I'm saying is if somebody calls me buddy, I'm going to go full Joe Dirt on them. My fists are mics. They don't like no feedback. Check one, two, check one, two. What's up? All right. I don't play those games. Don't call me buddy. I'm not your pal.
Buddy. I'm not your buddy guy.
You know who else says buddy? You. You say buddy as much as I do now. You've been spending too much time around.
Talking to me?
Entirely too much time.
I do that. I get like things from osmosis from people I know. Like I pick up tendencies from people in my life.
So you're a fraud.
Yeah, pretty much. I chain smoke cigarettes now ever since I've. No, that's not true.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say you chain smoke. You just partake. You just hit a little puff here, hit a little puff there.
I haven't smoked a cigarette in many years.
I don't think I've smoked a cigarette since you were allowed to smoke them inside at Red Door.
Well, technically, you have smoked a cigarette because you've been around me enough now that
that's true.
I would say by secondhand.
In that case,
smoke,
I'm a pack a day smoker.
Hey, before we get to the Rand Carthon, yeah, he's not even smoking in the production room. He's just coffee. It's like
just walking in.
What's
afterwards.
The character from? It's not the Muppets.
Pig pen.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Pigpen.
It's not dirt that surrounds Robert. It's just a giant cloud of cancerous smoke. That's what surrounds Robert Walsh. Can we have a conversation before we talk about Rand Carthon denying Kevin Byard release rumors? Robert Walsh left me alone to potentially die on Saturday night.
No.
Do you want to tell? I don't know if I should tell this story or if you should tell this story.
You pulled a me, to be honest. I am the king of the Irish goodbye. And you just you were gone.
He has perfected the Irish goodbye. Got to give that to him.
So Robert and I, well, no, I didn't. We had no previous designs to go to the soccer game together this past Saturday.
In fact, you positioned against it. You were like, no, I will not go to the soccer game with you.
In fact, I said I didn't want you to go to the soccer game with me.
You were going. You just didn't want to be there with Robert.
That's correct. I was going. The curse continues because I have not seen a local professional team win a game in person since November damn 17th. Seven straight Titans losses, the Preds home opener season loss.
So and in Green Bay?
In Green Bay, that's the last time I've seen.
Wasn't even a local win.
Yeah, so when's the last time?
A local team winning a game.
What's the last home game the Titans won? Because that would be the last time you saw a local professional team win in Nashville.
Who did they play? Was it the... No, they lost to the Bengals, right? Hadn't they lost a couple of games before the Packers game?
No, they were 7 and because they lost the first two, and then after Packers game, they were 7-3.
But I think that loss might have come before Thursday Night Football. I don't recall exactly who the team was, but whatever their last home win was is the last time I've seen a
Broncos.
Team.
That's right. They beat the Broncos the week before. At Nissan Stadium. The Bengals loss followed the Packers win, and that's what started the losing streak.
Okay, I had Bengals and Broncos mixed up. Either way, I have not seen a local team win a game, home or away, since November 17th in person, because I go to every Titans game, they lost 7 straight. I went to the Preds home opener, they got dummied, and every time I think about it, they get 7 goals put on them in the first period. I went to the soccer game. I was excited. The atmosphere at Geodis Park was electric. They had not lost a home game all year. What did they do?
Tyler on YouTube says, yeah, the next Nashville Soccer Club game I go to, I'm going to make sure Buck's not there.
Honestly, 1-1-0 is how they lost with Lucas Panzeca on the call. Maybe it's a Lucas problem. Who's to say? But Robert and I go to the soccer game where we meet up at I don't think it was quite halftime of the soccer game.
Close enough.
Robert decides that he wants to leave the soccer game. And I am supportive of this because by that point I had imbibed quite a bit and I was teetering. Our buddy, Protohype, Max, who is the DJ, was DJing the soccer game. Max wanted to take a tequila shot with me. I obliged. I did not feel very good after the tequila shot. I may or may not have thrown up in a trash can inside of Geodis Park. Who's to say?
Oh my God.
Who's to say?
Is that the zone's Buck Rising?
That happened a couple of times at the tailgate while I was drinking a champagne bottle by myself in an empty field.
It's so funny to watch you interact with people, and I know that you're off your rocker, and they're like, oh, man, love the show, and Buck's, like, trying to hold it together. But I left you, left me.
Which is really a moral story about me not being so publicly drunk. But, you know, another day. It's a Saturday. Leave me alone. So we go to the soccer game. We meet Robert at halftime. We find V-Love. There's our friend Haley Murphy. There's a bunch of people running around down there, and everybody's, you know, trying to get after it. So Robert at some point and his lovely girlfriend Cheyenne and her friend's name, who is?
Reagan.
They are ready to go. I have previously gone to the soccer game with another couple who has been sitting in the stands the entire time, and I just haven't told them where I've gone and that I'm not coming back. So I Irish goodbye, Lucas will know, my buddy Larry, who he and his wife I went with, and we just abandoned them. I didn't tell them. He texted me asking me where I was, I had been gone from that stadium for 35 minutes.
Oh, you're the worst.
So Robert and Cheyenne and Reagan shepherd me back to my home where we hang out for a little bit longer, and then we decide that we are going to go to a bar in my neighborhood. We go to the bar. We arrive at the bar. I buy three drinks for Robert, Reagan, and Cheyenne, and a water for myself. Cheyenne looks at me and says, "You're not getting a drink?" And I said, "No, I'm going to throw up again. I need to leave."
So Buck takes us to the deepest, darkest corner of this bar and looks at me and goes, "I have to go."
When you know, you know.
To which he informed me afterwards, I assumed he was going to be taking an Uber, maybe getting a Lyft, one of his proclivities. That sounds like
proclivities.
There you go. Whatever. One of your situations was going to pick you up. I didn't know what was going on.
One of my situations? Is that what?
But then you informed me that you did not Uber home.
I walked. At 1 a.m. in the morning, I walked home from this bar. Now, it's not a terribly far walk. It's probably somewhere between 8 and 10 blocks. But this is at 1 a.m. in the morning. Robert, Cheyenne, and Reagan are looking around for me as if I've just gone to the bathroom and going to return to the table very soon. When, in fact, I have tried to get an Uber. I've lost my wallet, so I've canceled all my cards. Can't order an Uber because I've already canceled my cards. I looked at my phone the next morning. You remember our experience in Indianapolis with the Lime scooter?
I do, yes.
I had the Lime app on my phone.
He tried to Lime.
But there was no scooter around me. No scooters working around me. So after a while, I guess, because I had looked at the Lime app the next day and said, "I've never limed in my life. I don't think I've been on a scooter since the draft." So I was trying to figure out where the hell this Lime app came from. And then I recalled that Robert abandoned me, left me alone to not get an Uber, no. To not get a scooter, to walk home in the middle of the night back to my place in cowboy boots and a Nashville SC pullover.
You going to be there for the Toronto game next weekend?
Yeah, I'll be
your boots.
I'll be in the six. Got a break.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Welcome back to the show here on this Tuesday. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. 615-737-1045 is the number. Aaron Wilson of KPRC2, local TV in Houston. Texans are indeed not expected to pursue Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson per league sources, as focus is on NFL draft quarterback prospects, including visits with Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, and Hendon Hooker. So now the Texans have said no thank you to Lamar. The Falcons have said no thank you. The Commanders have said we're good, among several other teams that have decided that they are not interested in pursuing the Ravens quarterback. The Tennessee Titans have not done any such declarations, but I don't think Rand Carthon was asked at the NFL owners meetings about Lamar Jackson, nor do I think he'd respond because Ryan Tannehill is still under contract. Just for a quick update, Metro Nashville Police Department spokesman Don Aaron is currently giving a press conference about the Covenant School shooting. If there is any new information for us to disseminate to you, we will do so. And we may well break into this press conference live if there is enough relevant information, new information that you guys need to hear. So just an update on that. It's also being carried on local news stations, local television news stations as well, as we continue to await clarity on how it is that this tragic situation came to pass yesterday, about 4 miles from where we do this show in Green Hills. So, meanwhile, Rand Carthon was asked questions about several players on the Titans roster at the NFL owners meeting. And a couple of those players in particular are ones that are being discussed as potentially being moved: Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Kevin Byard. Now, what Rand Carthon had to say about Kevin Byard was not available via video, but the quote about it was pretty telling, given that there was rumors floating around about Kevin Byard and his status with the Tennessee Titans a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the Friday, the first round of the NCAA tournament, that Lucas and I had, we had finished the show early because we had been preempted by basketball. And I think, in fact, I was at, speaking of which, I was at a bar with Robert, which I should not have been, again, for the second time. But I got a call that there was a rumor going around and that had been espoused on local radio that Kevin Byard had asked, and it should be said, not this radio station, but espoused on a different radio station, that Kevin Byard had asked for his release. Now, we didn't have the opportunity to talk about that live, and I had to work through that on Friday and over the weekend to figure out whether Kevin Byard had, in fact, asked for his release, because it was reported and confirmed that the team had asked him to take a pay cut. Now, what we came back with on Monday when we came back to do the show is I told you guys, and I think Teron Davenport was another one to confirm this, Adam Schefter did as well, that Kevin Byard had been asked to take a pay cut, but had in fact not asked for his release from the team. Rand Carthon was asked specifically about the situation with Kevin Byard, and this was the quote about their all-pro safety, who, you know, they have to figure out what they're going to do with at this point. So this is what Jimmy Wyatt wrote in his recap article from the owners' meetings in Phoenix this week. Plenty of rumors have made the rounds in recent weeks, including some involving safety Kevin Byard. Carthon wanted to make one thing clear. Quote, "I will say this, KB nor his representatives ever asked us for a release. So that was blatantly false. That's what I'll say about that." Carthon added he also, quote, "has a ton of respect for KB and we'd love for him to continue his career as a Titan," but did not comment specifically on the pay cut. He also added that nothing has changed regarding the statuses of Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill on the roster, and said that he thinks that he and Jeff Simmons are in a great place. They're working hard to get back healthy from his ankle situation, which is as far as he would go. So, with Rand Carthon denying the Kevin Byard release situation, Kevin Byard having not asked publicly for his release, but there still being some resolution that needs to come because they're still quite tight to the cap at this point. Are there any more moves that they absolutely must make that will require, for lack of a better term, a bit of a salary cap blood sacrifice that involves Byard, Henry, and what seems like a much longer shot at this point, Ryan Tannehill? I think that if you ask me today, having the information that we have at our disposal, which of those three players was least likely to be on this roster come training camp in August, I would say that Kevin Byard is the least likely at this point. Now, let me explain that. They have asked him to take a pay cut. Restructures are common. Pay cuts are not in the NFL. Kevin Byard has been restructured twice, which is why his salary cap number looks as egregious as it does. $20 million damn near for a safety is tough to eat in today's NFL marketplace, especially when they're dealing with the amount of dead money here that they already are. You do not approach a player, all pro, rookie, veteran, or otherwise, about a pay cut unless you intend to take some action. They have not yet taken any action with Kevin Byard. It's less than $6 million to release him right now. it goes up to over $13 million if they designate him as a post-June 1 release. Now, there is a substantial difference between 13 and less than 6 where salary cap implications are concerned. If they do it, they will have a significant hole in their defense that they'll already have to be making up because they chose not to bring back David Long. And if they do release Kevin Byard, you're talking about a scrambling of the deck in a different kind of way. Two guys directly responsible for communication and for execution on that defense. Do you have to take action? Not necessarily. At least that's not the way that it looks from the outside. But again, I don't know what their plans are. They have not been ruled in or out on Lamar Jackson, for example. There has been precious little discussion around them in the wide receiver market, as we discuss. And by the way, let me add this for those of you who are wringing your hands about the lack of veteran wide receiver options in Tennessee right now or that have been signed at present. Wide receivers probably don't want to play here, especially when you look at the marketplace, but I'll explain more what I mean by that here in just a moment. So do you have to take action with Kevin Byard? I mean, not necessarily. They have cap space right now. It's not a lot. They're going to need to use the vast majority of what they have for the draft class, the practice squad, and an injury pool. But I think that Kevin Byard is the least likely to be here given the circumstance, given the way that things are trending. They can lower Ryan Tannehill's cap hit by extending him. They can do the same for Derek. Byard's is a little different because the deal currently runs through 2020. Well, 2025 and 2026 are years on his current contract, but they're also voidable years, which is a part of the restructure process. So it would be complicated if they went about this with an extension at this point. Now, I think that there is a lot of different ways that they can go about this. But again, those post-June 1 savings, they would not get until after June 1. So I don't necessarily know that that's going to help you with the free agent crop that's out there. Now, maybe you make a trade late. Maybe you ride the Lamar thing out until June. I have no idea what they would do with that money, hypothetically, if they were to cut KB. But there is a circumstance in which Kevin Byard ends up not on this roster next year, and I think that's the most likely outcome of those three, especially if Kevin Byard has already displayed an interest in not taking said pay cut.
It seems crazy, doesn't it? The guy who, with all the problems this team has had over the last 2 years, has been the model of durability.
Model citizen, model durability, model player, model leader, model everything. Model of what Middle Tennessee homegrown athletes look like.
And obviously the local stuff is important with KB, and especially for people in this community, but put all of that aside for a second. Just who he is as a player and a person in that locker room that embodies everything Mike Vrabel wants in a player, including the durability and consistency factor on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, so, they want him. They just don't want him for 19 against the cap.
I know. It's just And I get that. It's just crazy that that's the guy that you go to when Vrabel's continued to cite him over and over as that model player.
No, I'm sure Mike Vrabel don't want to let him go. They don't want to let him go. They asked him to take less money, and he said no. When that is you talk about the impasse that you're at right now. They want him here. They just don't want to pay him what he's currently making. They want him here. They're just telling him, yeah, but you're not worth that much.
Kevin on YouTube says, I feel like Autry is a cut candidate we haven't heard about, but we need to talk about. He saved $7 million with only $2 million in dead cap. Older has missed more games than KB.
I've brought that up before, and not that it's implausible, because that is still a substantial amount of savings, but I do think that Denico Autry is somebody that they would like to retain and implement as a part of that platoon system. And I do think that if you are doing the cost-benefit analysis, you would rather have more pass rushers than safeties. Now, I'm not – like, if you wanted to make up for the lack of all-pro safety in your secondary, you would do that by building an unholy, gnashing and wailing front seven that I think that they're trying to emphasize more. They are not going to be a better football team without Kevin Byard. that's not to get that. Nothing is there guaranteeing that Kevin Byard is going to be released. But if you're asking me if of those three players, who is least likely to end up on this roster before the 2023 season, I would say Kevin Byard is the one, because there has been no discussion, no reporting, no nothing whatsoever, not even a whisper, not even rumors, not even made bleep up about Ryan Tannehill being approached about restructures, pay cuts, extensions, or the like, much less a release. And the Rodgers thing, holding the Jets hostage, trade talks theoretically couldn't move forward until the Jets figure out whether they can or cannot trade for Aaron Rodgers. So Tannehill, I think, is most likely to end up on this roster, and Derek's trade market has been significantly diminished both by the quality of this running back draft class and by the other players who have reportedly been made available either by their own trade requests like Austin Eckler or because their teams are shopping them like Dalvin Cook. So all these things are something to keep in mind as we get closer to this, or as we continue through the offseason. We've got our offseason workout dates officially released for all 32 NFL clubs, which means that kind of stuff is right around the corner in late April and early May. AJ says, we don't need to cut anyone. For what? Who are we spending the money on? Well, I can't answer that question, and your general manager is not going to answer that question either. The question, the money at some point is going to go to Jeff Simmons, or needs to try and go to Jeff Simmons, but they haven't had much progress on that deal as it stands right now. So keep all these things in mind as you monitor various transactions, but there is always one move every offseason that is shocking to a city, to a fan base, a curveball, for lack of a better term. Except the curveball this year feels like it's Kevin Byard, and I don't know that it's necessarily sneaking up on us. We'll see. 615-737-1045 is how you join the conversation. So, with that being said, that brings us back to spending or not spending. They're not spending on wide receivers right now. They did a one-year, $1.25 million deal with NWI, reportedly. They know they have needs for skill positions in the draft, and I think that wide receiver-wise, it does not look like they have seen or had a ton of interest in a lot of players that have been out there, though I know that they have talked to some of these players and at least explored the market because they have a pro scouting staff specifically to do so. The other angle of this that I would like to pose that I'm not reporting it, this is pure speculation, but based on the nature of deals that we have seen from wide receivers around the league this year who have been unrestricted free agents, where you look at the long-term deals that were done and far more one-year prove-it deals that were handed out among or by teams that were in the wide receiver market this year. When I put in front of you the guys who are unrestricted free agents in this list of names, where the long-term deals, there were one four-year deal for Alan Lazard, three-year deals for Jacoby Myers, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Adam Thielen, two-year deals for Robert Woods, Darius Slayton, Deontay Hardy, and Ashton Doolin. Everybody else on this, DJ Chark, Paris Campbell, Mecole Hardman, Zach Pascal, Braxton Berrios, on down the list, one-year deals. If you're a player who's if you're a wide receiver on a short-term deal, and you're looking around at the open marketplace, free agency for the first time, saying, all right, this is the best opportunity, this is the best value for you. If you play well, if you perform well, we'll be able to cash in on the other side of this one-year contract. Are you even factoring the Tennessee Titans into consideration there as a wide receiver and as a wide receiver's representative? I would say absolutely not. Now, I'm sure there are wide receivers who will relish the opportunity to play with any club that's willing to offer them a contract. But I'm talking about the guys who actually have potential to cash in elsewhere. Mecole Hardman, DJ Chark in particular, Paris Campbell, who's only 25 years old and could do with a flyer. Well, Paris Campbell looked around at the marketplace, and you know what sounds better? One year in New York. If they can turn Daniel Jones into that, I can figure it out. I'll at least be able to statistically compile there and put things together to put together a contract situation. Again, I'm not reporting that the Tennessee Titans are being actively turned down by wide receivers. I'm just posing you the devil's advocate argument of if you were a wide receiver, on a one-year deal. Would you have any interest in playing here? I think the answer is a resounding hell no.
There's just not a sample size for a receiver coming here and maxing their value.
Well, there is, but he had to go to another team to do it. AJ was getting ready to max value, and Tennessee said, nah, we'll move you. So AJ Brown had the opportunity to maximize his value, did so, had the talent level to do so, and now is, you know, playing for the Philadelphia Eagles because the Tennessee Titans said, nah, we're good. So that is the sample size. It's not a good one, and the wide receiver position for this franchise has been damned. I mean, really, since they've been the Tennessee Titans, and really since Drew Bennett and Derek Mason. We'll see how it plays out. They're obviously not done. Post-draft free agency is a real thing. Teams will fill out more of their needs more cost-effectively, and we'll move on from there. We have been taking a break. As by the way, you guys were monitoring back there the Metro Nashville PD press conference. Any new information that needs to be disseminated to the audience about the school shooting that took place yesterday at Covenant School?
No, not necessarily. They kind of reiterated that none of the individual victims were targeted by the shooter. The school was, and as they had said before, there were other planned attacks that obviously will not get carried out. And really the only new information was the amount of guns and how she purchased the guns.
So there are ways for you to donate to the victims of the Covenant School shooting. For those of you who are looking for information, I always hesitate to push that stuff out there until such time as we have confirmed places where you can go. But you can support the families of the victims of yesterday's horrific shooting by donating to the Community Foundation Fund. 100% of the proceeds will go to the victims' families. It is important, I think, for all of us as we continue to try and stick together to support one another in any way humanly possible, financially, morally, emotionally, or otherwise. Community Foundation is where you go to donate. That is, and I will give you the exact website URL in just a moment. In fact, we'll tweet that out from my account and from the Zone's account. Well, can we tweet that out from the Zone's account? I think that's okay. Or maybe we'll tweet it out from my account and maybe we'll have the Zone retweet it. Either way, we will get you the resources for you to be able to donate. Anything helps at this point as the families deal with loss of life. So, just wanted to get that note out there. CFMT.org. CFMT.org. That's the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee. Last call for phone calls. Are we going to do polls?
Do some polls.
Okay, we'll do some polls coming up next.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants, you are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Wrapping up today here on 104.5 The Zone. I don't know if it felt a little more normal, but at least for us to kind of get back into the swing of things or try to. We appreciate you guys giving us a little grace as we awkwardly try to transition from very, very serious subject matter, the Covenant School shooting yesterday, into trying to do whatever it is the hell that they pay us to do around here, which is largely stupid, and not knowing the things that we're paid to know how to talk about, which has been exposed, I think, on multiple different levels today. Not just institutional lack of knowledge, not just sports misinformation, not just pop culture. I mean, we've butchered pop culture today.
Yeah, we dipped into all of it today, all of our incompetencies.
We have been successfully versatile in how dumb we've been, I think, as a show.
Good job by us.
We told you that the Community Foundation Fund is the most legitimate place for you guys to donate. We invite you to do so. CFMT.org. is where you can donate financially, support financially the victims of the Covenant school shooting. We're going to, as like I said, as new information becomes available, we'll keep you guys updated with that. I'm sure Blaine and Mickey 3HL will do the same, but I just did want to say thank you guys for letting us get back to kind of some normalcy. I think it was good for everybody's headspace today to kind of do that. I feel a lot different now at the end of the show than I did when we were first walking in here, because it was we were looking around at each other like we weren't really sure what to do. Anyway, polls please.
Stop the count. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. It's the segment where bias takes over and nuance goes to die. Now here's your favorite Buck Rising Show daily correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
Presented by Two Rivers Ford, who sells below MSRP on any non-specialty new Ford. Does the fact that there is not a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed in the... No, there is a 4 seed. I wrote that wrong. Is the fact that there is not a 1, 2,
Twitter account?
Or 3 seed in the Final Four make you more or less inclined to watch? 65% say more. So many people in the reply. So UConn just doesn't exist now?
You left the best team...
What is the more likely?
No. Did you do that on purpose? You know what? Put it out on Twitter. Did Lucas do that on purpose? I don't want it to say anything, nothing related to the Final Four. Did Lucas do that on purpose, yes or no?
Oh, 100% say yes.
Okay.
Does the fact that I'm reading the same tweet, what is the more likely starting quarterback situation for the Colts? Rookie quarterback or Lamar? 87% say a rookie quarterback.
Why are you laughing back there? You're not blaming us at all.
He stopped laughing very quickly.
Because you talk about my boy. I feel like we've all been exceptionally dumb today, so I'm just laughing in the rebel.
I'm going to send you back not to the shadows, but to a bathtub full of cigarettes and tears.
Will NWI end up being the most experienced wide receiver on the Titans roster? 55% say yes, he will.
It does seem like it's trending that way, though. There's still much free agency left to go and a lot of time before we get to post-draft stuff.
So, we've talked about how young the cornerback room is as well. I think you're looking at the possibility of both the Titans and cornerback rooms having the oldest age of... Is it 26 that Trey Avery? Trey Avery's the oldest corner?
Trey Avery's the oldest corner on the roster.
I believe he's 26.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That's crazy. Who is most likely to not be on the Titans roster in 2023? Is it Ryan Tannehill? Is it Kevin Byard? Or is it Derrick Henry? 55% majority are going with Tannehill. 23% Henry. Only 22% think it's Kevin Byard.
I think it's Byard. Those are polls?
Those are not the polls. What's worse?
What was that pause?
Buck Rising not knowing Drake is Canadian. Burt Walsh confusing Nelly and Nelly Furtado. Or me, Lucas, calling Gail King Gail Sayers. Thankfully, not to her face. 39% are going with Burt. Nelly Furtado.
Really?
35% are going with you, not knowing Drake is Canadian. And 26% are going with the Gail King Gail Sayers thing.
I think Gail King, I know, I stand by my, I think that Drake, me not knowing Drake was Canadian is the most forgivable, because the thing that you cited was the Raptors, and I see Drake on the sidelines or courtside at every sporting event of every team that mattered ever.
It's such a well-known fact that Drake is Canadian, and you are a self-proclaimed Drake fan who is willing to shell out all kinds of money for floor seats of a Drake concert at Bridgestone Arena. So I do think it's worse. I think it'd be more acceptable if I didn't know Drake was Canadian. But I do know Drake is Canadian because I pay attention. It's on an album cover. He got famous on a Canadian TV show.
Degrassi's Canadian?
Stop it. Stop it. Don't put your glasses on try to look smarter.
Yeah. Look at you trying to compensate.
You look like the dumb Clark Kent right now.
It's at least a Canadian version of Degrassi, right?
No, it's a Canadian show. You were right.
Yeah.
We're not dumb. He's dumb.
Is it still great television if no one watches it? 52% say no. I totally disagree.
That may be my favorite poll ever. That is the justification for how bad this final. Now, is that the polls?
Those are the polls.
Excellent. That was some kind of a show. I don't know what it was, but it was a show. Great to have you guys with us today. Thanks for helping us get through and keeping us upright as we tried to do this stupid, silly thing that they allow us to do through for 3 hours each and every Monday through Friday. Tyler says Buck needs to watch the David Grohl commercial crediting everything from Canada.
Did you know Seth Rogen's Canadian?
No.
Do you know Justin Bieber's Canadian?
I feel like yes.
Did you know Ryan Reynolds is Canadian?
No.
You need to catch up.
Canada has everybody. They don't have us.
Good for them.
Beacons of light. They don't have us. That is going to do it for us today. Thanks for hanging out. Blaine and Mickey got you the rest of the way. I'll talk to you tonight on A to Z Sports Primetime.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.